Chad. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. And we're now in hour 11. And I'm still sitting here. We're in hour 11 of our all-day marathon of Toxic Free Talk Radio to celebrate the release of my book, Toxic Free. And we've got two more hours. And we'll be ending at midnight Eastern time. And I guess I'm getting tired. Hour 10. Okay, so our guest this hour is Harmony Sinsala, who is a textile designer, and she's going to talk to us about textile design and issues in textiles about toxics and what's going on with organic cotton. And we'll be with her in just a minute. One of the things that is important about my new book, Toxic Free, is that it has a lot of new messages in it. I've been writing about toxic chemicals and how to eliminate them from your home for almost 30 years. And have been living without toxic chemicals myself for that period of time. I had a lot of exposure to toxic chemicals early in my life and found that they were making me sick, and I removed them from my home and got well. So when that happened, I decided, you know, I didn't have to go through that whole ordeal of recovering from being poisoned. The only reason that I got sick was because nobody told me that there were toxic chemicals. And I thought, isn't there a government agency that's doing this? And it turned out that nobody was talking about this at the time. And I wrote one of the very first books that revealed that there were toxic chemicals in our homes, what the health effects were, and what we could do. And now it's 30 years later, and all the things that I have been writing about are still true. But in addition, we have so much more information now. One of the things that's changed is that now we know that toxic chemicals contribute to virtually every illness. Any symptom that you have, there's toxic chemicals behind it. And if you lessen your exposure to toxic chemicals and remove the toxic chemicals in your body, then you can improve your health. And yes, there are toxic chemicals in your body. The Centers for Disease Control are now monitoring the toxic chemicals in the bodies of Americans, and they write reports about this that you can get on the internet. We know how to remove toxic chemicals from homes. We know how to remove toxic chemicals from bodies. That's what the book Toxic Free is about. So there's not knowing how to do it anymore. It's simply a matter of choice. All you need to do is choose to be toxic free, read the book, and follow the instructions, and your health will improve. And I don't want to be sounding like that I'm making health claims or medical claims. Just examine the evidence for yourself and try it for yourself. See what it feels like to not be exposed to even some simple toxic chemicals and see if this works for you. So I see that Harmony is on the line, and I'm going to just click here. Uh-oh, there she is. Hi, Harmony.
Hi, Debra. How are you?
I'm good. Can you hear me okay? I can hear you.
Yes, I can.
Okay, good. I'm so happy that you're here. Harmony is in California, and she lives in a redwood forest. And let's see, I have some notes about her history. Harmony holds a degree in human services from the University of Oregon. Shortly after college, she unexpectedly found herself as the personal assistant to an independent financial planner. 4 years and several promotions later, she was running the administration, technology, and compliance departments of the Home Office of Protected Investors of America in San Francisco. Her nights and weekends were spent attending the California School of Professional Fabric Design, from which she graduated in record time while continuing to maintain her full-time day job. Since making the transition to her career in textile design, her innovative prints have been worn by many people, including celebrities and politicians, and sold at every retail level from Walmart and Target to Williams-Sonoma and Nordstrom and many points in between. At the end of 2004, Harmony walked away from a successful career in designing textiles to create her own line of printed organic fabrics. I just love Harmony's designs. You can go see them at harmonyart.com. There's now over 200 companies using her design fabrics in our product line. She's been invited to speak at many locations, including FIT, Yale, and the De Young Museum in San Francisco. She lives with her husband in Guadalajara, California, in a home they call their tree fort since it is surrounded on all sides by redwood trees. And I've been to Guadalajara, so I know how beautiful it is. Harmony, first to start by telling us, why did you walk away from your big career in the textile industry to start your own nature-oriented, organic textile design company?
Well, it was definitely a process, Deborah. I was working for the firm, and a firm that did design work for places like Walmart and Target, and it was really fun, and I enjoyed it. But I always had this nagging feeling like, ooh, how is it being made and under what circumstances? And then what happened was, as I got a phone call from a competitor who offered me more money and a better work schedule, and it made me think, well, do I take this other job? It would basically be designing the same kind of products for the same companies, but just for a different label. And it was sort of in that moment that it made me think, well, if it's not about more money or a better schedule, what is life about? And I had some loyalty to the company I worked for because it was a startup and I was got in at the ground floor, and it didn't feel right to just sort of jump ship on them. And it was around that exact same time that I had gone into a big box store, and it like hit me like a ton of bricks. What I saw wasn't inexpensive, beautiful things. What I saw was this glacial size flow of landfill. There were all these rows of checkouts and people standing in line, and all I could see was this stuff was just coming in, and it was going to have a short life, and then it was going to end up in a landfill.
Yeah. Wow.
And it was in that moment that I thought, oh, my goodness, I make pretty landfill for a living.
Oh, my God, that's great.
And then it got me thinking, okay, so I got to do some research. I don't think I can live with myself doing this anymore. And the more I looked into it, the more I discovered not only was it cheaply made and poor quality and going to be tossed quickly, but it was also toxic in the way it was produced.
Well, tell us some things about what you found out about how it was toxic. Help us have the same experience that you had.
Well, what I found out was that cotton is one of the most heavily sprayed crops in the world. It accounts for 3% of farmland, and yet it uses 25% of all insecticide.
Wow.
If you just wrap your head around that, if we could clean up that one thing, we could get rid of 25% of all insecticides. And these, Deborah, they aren't like just, you know, minor pesticides that we shouldn't be worried about. These are like the scariest things you can imagine. In fact, one of them that's most widely spread is Aldecarb. And if you touch it, if your skin touches it, you will die.
Wow.
And we're spraying, I'm not, you know, statistics don't tend to stick in my head, but I can put my hands on it here as how much we've sprayed in the United States. Let's see. In 2003, almost 1 million kilos were applied to cotton in the United States, Aldicarb, this highly poisonous, deadly chemical.
Wow.
And, yeah, just a story to illustrate it, in West Africa, a cotton farmer was out in the field, he's spraying, and he comes home from work, and he throws his clothes on the roof, and he goes inside, and that night it rained, and the water came through his shirt, through the roof, and fell into a drinking vessel that was on the counter. The next day, his kids get up, they have a drink of water. 20 hours later, four of his children are dead.
Wow. Well, is things that toxic shouldn't be on the planet?
Well, it makes you think, doesn't it? And that's just one of them. I mean, it's just, there's a slew of, it's the most toxic stuff is sprayed on cotton.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't have to be. It there's absolutely no reason why we have to be polluting our planet. And one of the other statistics that really freaked me out and got me on the bandwagon was a Cornell University study that 99.9% of all insecticides don't land on the insect they're intended to kill.
Yeah.
So that means only 0.1% is actually hitting the insect. So where is that 99.9% going?
Into the environment and into our bodies, and that we're breathing them and all of those things.
Right. It's going into our ground, into our water supply. In fact, how many states is it? I have that statistic here, too. So the use of Aldicarb has led to the contamination of groundwater in 16 states. So it's just crazy. It's nonsense is what it is. And so I thought, all right, I want my life's work to be something I can feel proud of. And so I got really involved in learning about organic cotton and decided it's time. And so I wanted to find a job working doing what I love, which is designing textiles, for a company that was doing it in a thoughtful manner. So I went online and I looked for that, you know, perfect job. And what I discovered is that when it comes to prints and organic cotton, there was basically not much going on.
Yeah.
There was one company that made children's pajamas that had prints, and so I, you know, and I'm reading their website, and it all sounds wonderful, and so I got up my courage, and I called them up, and I said, you know, I want a textile design for you, and they basically, this was 2004, and they said, there's no way, we don't have a budget for this, we could never afford to hire you, you're dreaming, you know, you're not going to be able to find that job. That job doesn't exist. Now, there were a few companies that were doing printed organic cotton at the time. There were companies like Patagonia, and I would have had to relocate from Northern California to L.A., and, you know, really wasn't interested in doing that. So I hung up the phone from having this conversation, and I have to admit, I cried. And I thought, okay, now what am I going to do? And it hit me that I just needed to think bigger. Instead of trying to get a safe job working for an existing company, I had to help revolutionize the textile industry. And
yay, Harmony!
And so that brought me down the journey of what has become Harmony Art Organic Design, where we've been, our first prints came out in August of 2006, and to the best of my knowledge, we were the very first company to add prints, color, and design to organic cotton and make it available to an individual, a home sewer, or a small business. So,
and I'm so glad that you did.
So it's been
I so admire you, Harmony. I love hearing your story because from the very first second that I saw your prints, I just knew that you were on the right track. You just resonated with me.
Oh, thank you. It's been a journey because, as I said, I was a textile designer. I never got involved with the production. And so having to source the material, find a printer, the standards for which you print at? Because growing the cotton, you know, that's one part of the story, but then there's also the printing and the process.
Well, it's about the printing, too. Before you do, though, I just want to say something, because I had this idea. Have you heard, you probably heard the concept of embodied energy?
No.
You know, okay, oh, let me tell you this. Okay.
Yes, please do.
So you're going to love this, and you're probably going to put this on your blog tomorrow. embodied energy is the amount of energy that is used to make a product. So if it takes so many kilowatts, then that's the amount of energy that's embodied in it. You don't see it. It's not part of what you consider as a consumer. It's not on the label. It's just there in the manufactured. And so I, knowing that concept, I had a flash of inspiration that there's the toxic chemicals that you see coming off of a product, like the outgassing of plastic. But what you don't see is the embodied toxics that are in a product. Isn't that a cool idea?
It's sort of like... the way I've heard it is that sort of the externalities, the other costs that go into making something
right.
that get passed
right.
on
it's
when
a,
we have to have
a
higher health care and,
yeah.
and clean,
but I
you know.
Like that term, because it's like if you think of a product as being a body of something, not like a human body, but a body in that it is a cohesive thing. And then you think about, well, what are all the toxic chemicals that went into making this? And because then you're considering the environmental effects and that what you're being exposed to from the environmental direction indirectly that had to go into the making of this product. And I think that we need to be looking at not only what are the toxic chemicals that when we're evaluating a product, like, for example, we'll use textiles because that's what we're talking about. I get a lot of questions on my Green Living Q&A blog about, why do I need to buy organic cotton? And the answer to that question, I always say, is, well, there have been tests that show that by the time cotton, regular conventional cotton, is turned into a fabric, that you're not getting the pesticide residues, that they're not there anymore. So you're not being exposed to that directly through a non-organic cotton fabric. But they're out there in the environment, and you could be exposed to them indirectly and as part of the toxic load. And people, I know what's going on at the other end is people are saying, well, I'm not being exposed to it, so it's okay. And yet we need to expand our horizon to say, we belong to this big sphere of life, and that it's just as not okay to put pesticides in the environment as it's not okay for us to be exposed to them ourselves.
Right.
And yet, there's nothing about the way products are marketed or that information is provided about products that would show you what is the embodied toxic exposure. And that's where I think we need to be going in the future is, I've talked in the past before about how when you go into a store and you want to buy apple cloth, that on the label it says apples, sugar, water. And then you go to the one in the natural food store and it says organically grown apples, filtered water, evaporated cane juice. And it's telling you how much purer it is. We're over here in the supermarket. It just says apples, sugar, and water. Well, what I want is I want the natural food store one to say apples, sugar, and water. I want the one in the supermarket to say apples, pesticides, water, chlorine, sugar, pesticides, aldecarb, one of the most toxic chemicals on the planet. You know, that's what it should say.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that education that it's a toughie.
It is tough, but I think that I mean, I'm looking at what is my responsibility as somebody who is researching and writing about these things, and I don't think that I can say that something is not toxic to you unless it's not toxic throughout its life cycle.
Right.
And yet we can't even see what the life cycle is. And things need to change. Things need to change. Okay. So go on with your story. Okay, tell us about printing, the printing process.
Well, okay, so there's two parts. There's the growing of the cotton, which for organically grown is, the cotton is grown to the same standards as, say, your tomato is, or your apples for your applesauce. It's certified to the National Organic Program. So you can feel good about that. But then there's the second part of the story, which is, okay, then what happens to it? And when I started the company in 2000 and the beginning of 2005, there were 40 different eco-fiber standards to choose from.
And wow.
That's confusing. I mean, it's confusing for me. It's confusing for the consumer. It's, you know, which one do you pick? And so I've watched that year in 2005, the Organic Trade Association, they launched their first fiber processing standards. And so I went with that standard. It seemed to be the, you know, sort of top of the line at the time, and it was 40 pages long.
Wow.
And thankfully, in 2007, I believe, although I don't quote me on that, I believe it was 2007, the global organic textile standards emerged. And that's fabulous because textiles are a global industry. Fabric moves all over the planet. It the carbon footprint behind your T-shirt would amaze you, most likely. You know, it can be grown one place, spun somewhere else, you know, woven somewhere else, printed somewhere else, finished, cut, and sewn. So the global standards, I was so happy to watch happen because it's basically making it so that the entire globe has the same standard instead of trying to figure out, well, what equals what, and what's also really fabulous about the global organic textile standards, which are also often referred to as GOT, is that it has a fair trade section, because as we know...
I want to hear more about this, but we have a caller, and I want to see what the caller's question is, and then we'll come right back to you. Hold on.
Okay.
Hello, caller. You're on the air with Deborah Lindad and Harmony Sasala. Hello?
Hi, thank you. Hello.
Hi.
Am I there?
Yes.
You are.
Yeah.
Hello. Hi, my name is Mary Carone, and I'm calling from Del Mar, New York.
Mm-hmm.
I'm listening to your show. And one of my questions that I heard way back when is that regular cotton, when you buy it, comes pretty much covered, and my daughter just woke up, covered with formaldehyde. In that most people are especially with sheets and things like that. Is that true? Because I've heard that people are supposed to wash your sheets definitely before you use them a few times. Is formaldehyde an actively used product in regular cotton industry? For finished
products? Do you want to answer that?
Well, I can't really say that with any... I haven't studied the conventional cotton that much to be able to give you a firm answer on that, Mary. Formaldehyde is a commonly used chemical. It's often used in finishes, especially, and with a small child like you have, especially in sleepwear as a fire retardant. And that's a scary one. I would definitely avoid anything sold as sleepwear for that very reason. It typically means that it has some sort of toxic finishing. So your baby won't burn in a fire, but she'll be slowly poisoning them. It's a lovely...
That always puzzles me that babies aren't smoking in bed. So why do they fire retardants? My understanding is that formaldehyde is the chemical that's basically used to make permanent pressed fabric. So if you... that's the one that I've been talking about for years. And that it's used on virtually all polyester cotton fabrics without being on the label. And it's used on 100% cotton to make it wrinkle-free. So if you see something that says easy care or permanent press, that's a good clue that there's formaldehyde on it. But beyond that, it's not commonly just, as far as I know, it's not commonly used just as a fabric treatment or a fabric finish. There's every piece of clothing that you buy has at least something on it called sizing, which I think is a cornstarch-based thing, but that washes right out. The permanent press finish does not. It's designed to be there for the life of the fabric. If you bought a set of cotton sheets you expected not to wrinkle, you'd be upset if the resin washed out because you don't want wrinkled sheets. So that formaldehyde resin is there, and it is emitting free formaldehyde at the beginning, and as you wash it, it continues. It has less formaldehyde, but as you are
and my baby says, buy organic cotton, no matter what.
Yeah, you know, it really is. We really need to be understanding that organic cotton is a special and important thing, not only for our health and not only the way that it's grown, but processed is in a different way, that they're really thinking about how can we have it not be toxic from the beginning to the end.
I would highly recommend.
I love how you brought that up. It's because, yes, thank you, Harmony, because I believe, and I've been following Harmony Art Designs for a while. I have some products that use her fabric, and we love them, and they just have a different quality to them, and I love her blogs because she is such an advocate, and I appreciate all that she's doing, and knowing the carbon footprint of all of our, everything that our consumerism is equally as important. If you're buying a beautiful product, and then what you're both touching on, the toxic issue of it. So thank you very much for all that both of you are doing to
you're
help
welcome.
Us live
Thanks
in a better
calling.
World.
Thank you. All right, Harmony, back to you.
Yeah, well,
tell us about
I would highly recommend anybody wash something before wearing it anyway, because there could be...
Yeah.
Any number of things that happen along the way. So I would always wash your clothes first. And definitely I avoid anything that says wrinkle-free, stain-free. I mean, it sounds good in theory, but I would rather, it's sort of that give me the spots on the apple song, you know. It's just a little inconvenience or maybe not looking so good is fine by me if it means that my planet and my body and the world is a safer place.
I totally agree with that. Throughout the day, I've been talking about how we need to make choices by putting our health first and the survival of the planet first, and that's more important to me than what something looks like, or if it's fashionable, or if it's the latest thing, or it has advertising, or any of those things. But my decision-making process is, am I going to be healthy when I use this? Is there going to be a planet after I use this? And I just love that you had this vision of everything ending up in the landfill. I just love that.
Oh. Well, and the fun part, too, Deborah, is in the last, well, how long has it been since 2005? You know, I said that I sort of started adding color and design because the organic cotton that was out there was beautiful shades of oatmeal and granola, which are nice, but I don't think we're going to all be wearing just, you know, beige. We want color, we want design, we want to be stylish, but we want to do so in a thoughtful manner. And what's great and what's so exciting is that I'm not alone anymore. There's companies popping up all the time. In fact, some of the bigger name companies this year have launched their own organic lines, And it's really exciting.
That is exciting. So tell me about the printing, because, what do you do about inks and things like that?
Well, all of our fabrics are printed to the GOTS, the Global Organic Textile Standards, which were put together by thoughtful people who have chemistry backgrounds, which would not include me as far as the chemistry goes. But they've been screened for toxicity, for heavy metals. We whiten with peroxide, not bleach. I have a whole page on my website called Why Organic Cotton that kind of breaks down all the steps along the way from the seed to the finished and talk about some of the difference between conventional and organic, which people are welcome to check out. But we can get pretty much any color. The colors that we can't get are fluorescents or like silver or gold. But besides that, they are synthetic dyes. They're not made from berries. They're synthetically made, but they've been made in a thoughtful manner, and the water has been treated, the effluent, and the fair trade. The people that produce our fabrics are treated fairly, which I think we all know that textile industry is historic for exploiting people as well as the planet.
Yeah.
And so I felt really good when the global standards came out, because now I have something that I can take to my manufacturing partners and say, this is what I need you to do. And instead of it being one person with 40 different standards, it's this united voice, and it's catching on, and more companies are certifying to the GOTS. And I don't think the consumer yet recognizes the logo. I don't think we're there. I think we're still at the infancy of organic cotton.
I think so, too. But, you know, I was in Germany a couple of years ago, and the GOTS label was all over everything. So I
really?
Think
that's fabulous.
It was. And I was at a show for children's products. And just all the bedding and, you know, the clothing and everything is just GOTS.
Yay!
Yeah, so I think that we will see that here in America, too.
Yeah, it's interesting. We've done some production in the U.S., and we've done quite a bit recently in India. And it's easier to get a company that's certified in India than it is in the United States. So hopefully with enough pressure, we can get our U.S. manufacturers to jump on board, too.
Good. We have another caller. So let's see who this is. Hello, caller. You're on the air with Deborah Lynn Dad and Harmony Susala.
Yes. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Can you hear us?
Wonderful. My name is Stacy.
Hi, Stacy.
I have a question. Yes, I have a question for Harmony, and obviously yourself, Deborah, if you know as well. But I read somewhere that people complain about organic cotton becoming a little smelly after time. What is that about, and do you know what I'm speaking of?
I have to admit that after 6.5 years, I have yet to have someone call or email me and tell me that the fabric's gotten stinky.
I think, Stacey, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that aren't people talking about cotton batting getting a little smelly and not the cotton fabric?
I you know what, it's just I end up on so many different links to so many different things I read, and I just remember it was somebody talking about like their T-shirts or you know, their organic shirts. Personally, I have some organic shirts, and they don't smell, and they haven't, but I was I just kept reading and reading about people just talking about all this, you know, their clothing, their organic clothing becoming a little, having a little, you know, smell to them. So I'm like, well, I haven't experienced that, but I've only had my clothes for about 3 months, you know.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to know.
I know on my blog, there's actually a whole blog post, and I don't remember what it's called, but you can probably find it by just searching on organic cotton on my blog, where someone did a whole bunch of research about cotton batting. And in the organic cotton, like if you look at two samples of cotton batting, the organic cotton will still have bits of stuff in it, whereas the non-organic one is all bleached and very clean. Just in terms of, I mean, it's not dirty cotton, but it doesn't have all the stuff taken out by the bleaching process and things like that, like the non-organic cotton does. And so it has more of an odor to it, and there are still like oils in the seeds and things like that. And so I think that some people have found that there's an odor to it, and the odor can get stronger and things like that with the batting. But just logically, it doesn't make sense to me that there would be anything in a fabric that would make the organic clothing smell more over time, like that there would be any rancidity or anything, because in making fabric, all of that stuff comes out.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually very intrigued, because I've been, you know, in the cotton fabric world for 2.5 years, and I have not heard that one yet. So this is intriguing. This is a new one.
Yeah, well, I was alarmed when I read it, because like I said, I've just, you know, I bought about 4 t-shirts, and they're fine. I love them. They're so soft. They're wonderful. They don't smell, you know, and I want to increase my wardrobe more and more as I'm able to. And when I read that, it was like, you know, it was almost like a big red stop sign. I'm like, oh, you know, I almost got a little nervous that I was going down a path that I didn't know what I was going to do when I came to that, you know. So, but good. I'm glad that you would. I mean, I would think you would know best. So,
yeah,
I wouldn't
let it stop you. We have organic cotton sheets we've been using since 2007. They don't smell. You know, you wash your clothes if you get smelly. I don't think it's an issue. At least not one I've heard anything about.
Wonderful. Well, great. I've been enjoying the show all day, Deborah. I haven't left my desk chair, so.
Oh, thank you. That's very good to hear. Thank you so much. And thanks for calling.
I'm glad you got it. I'm glad I was able to get through. I know you were having some troubles earlier, so.
Yeah, well, finally, after 11 hours, I think the best technical end worked out.
Oh, great. Well, I look forward to future broadcasts. So wonderful.
Thank you so much. Okay.
Have a good night. Bye.
Okay, Harmony. So I want to make sure we have about 20 minutes left. I want to make sure that we talk about your design philosophy, I guess we could call it, about it being based in nature patterns. And talk about that, why you do it that way, how you were inspired, and what exactly you do. What does that embody?
Sure. Well, it's funny. It goes back to my first design jobs. I was told what to design, and then we used to be sent out on what they would call trend shopping trips, where basically you were sent to go to stores to find out what everybody else was doing and what was hot so that you could come back and do your version of what everybody else is doing.
Yeah. How crazy.
And I always found that to be one of the worst days. I hated trend shopping. I mean, some women would probably love to have somebody give them a credit card and tell them to go out shopping. I found it just miserable. And so now that I have my own company and I get to call the shots, I go trend hiking, and I find it much more rewarding. In fact, I was leading a hike today, or I would have been listening all day to your show, Deborah, but I was out leading a hike Thursdays. I hike with the Thursday Ramblers, and today I was scheduled to lead a hike. And when I'm out, I take my camera with me, and I'm always on the lookout for design inspiration, and I find it to be an infinite source of inspiration is just the natural world around me.
Yeah.
And I think it's my connection to nature that makes me want to protect it and celebrate it. And so I'd say that 90% of the designs that I do now are inspired directly from my environment.
That's so wonderful. You know, I think about earlier in my life, excuse me, how unaware I was of things, and that I was just a regular consumer, like everybody else. And then I went through changes in my own beingness and my own awareness about being more aware of my body and my health, but also about the natural world. And it was just a series of things. And I went and lived out in a forest. I was always a city girl. And my big dream was to live in San Francisco when I was a child. I didn't want to live in suburbia. I wanted to go to San Francisco. And when I actually moved out of the house and went to San Francisco, I realized that I didn't want to live in a city. And I was always a Girl Scout, and I'd go to camp. But there came a time when I really became aware of the natural world in a different way, when I went out to live in a forest all by myself, in a house, of course. But, well, I shouldn't say of course. People live out in nature without having houses. But for me, being a city girl, I had to go live in a house out in nature. And that over that period of 2 years, that there was a big change for me in becoming aware of the natural world, of starting to think of deer and raccoon as my neighbors, mm-hmm. and starting to notice the change in what the plants were and when things were blooming. And I had never lived that intimately in nature before, that I had only lived in suburbia and in a city. And here I was now living in a place where there was like basically a little, it wasn't a dirt road, but it was just this little side street. It was paved, but it was paved and there was an ecosystem still intact. And so my house was actually in an ecosystem with all the other parts of the ecosystem instead of just, you know, strip clearing the land and building a house on it or having everything be cement. And that time, those 2 years really changed my awareness to be able to see, gee, the moon has phases and there's seasons. And if I wanted to have heat, I needed to get up and build a fire and all of those things. And it really, that awareness gave me an appreciation and a love for nature that I didn't have before. And I think that it's really hard to harm something that you love. And I think that a lot of the problem that's going on in the world is that people are just so disconnected from nature that it doesn't even mean anything to them, that environment is just a word, that there's no reality on what it means to actually have the natural world be part of you. I remember when I was writing my book, Non-Toxic, Natural, and Earthwise, and about 19, came out in 1990, so I guess it was 1989. It was around this time, just after I had been living there. Well, because it was just when we moved to Forest Knolls we were living. And I wrote in that book that something like that you think of using a paper towel differently when you think that paper towel was made because they clear cut the forest, your local forest.
Mm-hmm.
And like you, I had a local forest. And the reason that I had a forest down the street was because Samuel P. Taylor decided to preserve that forest and made paper out of rags when he went around collecting rags to make paper instead of cutting down the trees.
Wow.
And, pretty amazing. But we're so disconnected that we don't make the connection between here's a paper towel and there's a tree somewhere and there's a person living next to that tree and somewhere a tree is being cut. Somebody's environment, somebody's neighbor is being cut so that I can have a paper towel. And so I sent this off to my editor in New York. And she drew a big circle around local forests, and she said, "There are no local forests." It's like it was so. she couldn't conceive that somebody might have a forest nearby.
Wow! There's definitely a disconnect, and I think you're right. The more we ignore our connection to everything, the easier it is to not be thoughtful about what we're doing. And I think that's kind of gotten us in the situation we're in.
I think so. And So the more we can do, one of the reasons I admire you so much is that you have an awareness that you have, like me and like a lot of other people, we've gone from our industrial consumer viewpoint to waking up to the fact that nature exists, and that I really think that our salvation is in nature, that even though we've polluted it badly, I do believe in the forces of life, and I do believe that even the planet can be regenerated, that our health can be regenerated, and that's the direction that life goes. And in you bringing those images of nature and those patterns of nature into fabrics that we can sleep on and put on our bodies and things like that, it's just whether we're aware of it or not, it unites us in life in a way that we've lost. And so I so appreciate how thoughtful your product is, and in that it's thoughtful from beginning to end. It's thoughtful in that you've designed something that people want to use and make them feel good, and that you've done it in a way that includes nature in the design and protects nature in the manufacture, that I can't think of anything that I could say to you that would improve your product. It's just like the top of the list for me. If everybody followed the same philosophy that you do in designing their products and their businesses, then the world would be a very different place.
Well, you know, that's sort of my vision, Deborah, is I think that, you know, when you start to think about all the problems in the world, it can be really depressing. It can be overwhelming.
Yeah.
But then
there's somebody like you who has shown that not only can it be all those things that I just said, but that you can actually have a business, you know, and that it can be done. It can be done.
Well, I think the magic bullet, you know, is that if we each just, everybody just took responsibility for their own life's work, and I don't care what you do, just take responsibility for that job and make it the best it can be.
Yeah.
Not only will you feel better health-wise, and the planet will be better health-wise, but I think we'll be happier too. I think it's a win-win-win. And they even show, you know, time and time again, reports on business that do things ethically do better.
They do.
You're not having to hide from the lawsuit or shove something under the carpet if you're doing something in a manner that respects the people and the planet and the place. And I think that for too long we've all just sort of, you know, done our jobs and collected our paycheck and become good consumers and bought into the whole better living through more things. And I don't think that better living through more stuff has delivered. And I actually think our economic crisis is a good wake-up call to take a look and say, what do I really want? What's really important? And I think, it doesn't matter if you're a plumber or a dentist or a textile designer or an author, everybody, if they just like started making small steps and paying attention to, okay, what am I contributing to? And then as a consumer, what do I want my dollar to vote for? Because, you know, we love to blame big multinational corporations have done this to us, have done this to the planet. Well, you know what? They're rich because we buy their crap.
I said that earlier today, exactly that. And I'm glad that you said it again, because it all comes down to us. It all comes down to our choices. And I think that a lot of people do blame the corporations or the government or whatever. But the fact is, we don't have to wait for the government to have regulations against toxic chemicals in products. We don't have to wait for a corporation to change the way they do things, because there's plenty of small businesses that are making changes. That it's all there. Everything that we need to have a non-toxic life exists. It's a matter of making a choice. We now know exactly what to do to remove toxic chemicals from bodies. Anyone can do these things. It's not expensive. It's not rocket science. It's just a matter of making a choice and saying, this is what I want. And it starts with that decision that you and I and other people, we have an ethical decision that we want to do the right thing. And when you start thinking about, well, what is the right thing? The right thing is to do things that support and sustain life. Whether I'm talking about my body or about the planet, it's all about sustaining life. And if we don't choose to sustain life and we just continue to take actions that destroy our health and destroy the planet, then what we're going to have is nothing. And life is a really beautiful thing when you live it fully and take advantage of all the creativity and love and beauty and all the things that are here. It's a choice. It just comes down to being a choice.
Yep. Have you heard about, do you know the hairspray story?
No.
Oh, I love this one. This is one I love to tell, because to me it was, I heard about it just when I needed to hear something positive, which was, do you remember the whole, I think it was in the 80s where they said that hairspray was putting a hole in the ozone?
Yeah, I remember that.
Remember hearing about that? And it was quite a big deal. And while corporations and government debated about whether it was really happening, was there a connection between hairspray and a hole in the ozone or not, the word got out to the consumer. And now we're not talking any consumer. Who buys hairspray?
Women.
Women. Women got the message that hairspray was hurting the environment. And so while governments debated and corporates protested, women stopped buying hairspray with the CFCs in them. And within months, it was going to get phased out over, 5 years or something. And within months, the decline in hairspray sales were so staggering that the hairspray companies had to change the formula and take it out.
Yes, we have that power. We absolutely
have the power so much more than we realize. And if we just
I think it's really important at this point in time that we marshal that same kind of interest, that there needs to be enough communication out into the world to people so that they say, we don't want this toxic stuff anymore, and that they get enough communication that they know what it is that they can do, that enough people do it, that it makes that kind of impact.
Right, and that will be fast, because you know what? If you're not buying it, they're not making it.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right.
So we can do it.
We can do it. I agree. And this is part of my plan. I was saying earlier that in this past year, even though I've been doing this work for so long, I've just had a renewed vitality about wanting to do it, because I've just gotten to a point where it's just like, okay, we need to handle this already. I've been doing this for 30 years, and I don't want to live with toxic chemicals anymore. I don't want it to be that the planet is so polluted, that our bodies are so polluted, that using the gentle remedies of nature don't work because our bodies are oversaturated with chemicals. This is just, that's it. That's enough. We need to turn things around. And this is why, one of the reasons why I decided that I was going to spend 12 hours sitting here today to make the point that there is toxic-free alternatives available. And you're a beautiful example, a beautiful example.
Oh, thanks, Deborah. I'm impressed. You're on almost your last hour. How are you holding up?
I'm actually holding up very well, because it's been so inspiring to talk to all my guests today. And it's heartwarming and encouraging to me that I'm not the only one that is saying these things. And I've just had a whole day, all day long, for 11 hours now, and there's going to be one more of intelligent, caring people who are actually doing something to make a less toxic world. That all of you and me, we're not just talking about it, we're not just saying it's a good idea, we're actually doing things to reduce toxic exposure for ourselves and other people and the planet. And there are many more, and that's what I want to be showing in this radio show, is I just want to show example after example after example and make all of you and your work more known, so that people can use these things more and have these tools and alternatives available to them. Because to just say, oh, don't use toxic chemicals and not give people something else to choose doesn't work. And so my work has always been about saying, here, use this instead. These organic oranges taste a lot better. This organic cotton is a lot softer and more beautiful. And I can honestly say that I love my non-toxic life. I love all the tastes and smells and feels of all these natural non-toxic materials. And I just feel comfortable and at home surrounding myself with natural things. And I would like all the toxic stuff to go to another planet. We don't need to have toxic chemicals in order to live. In fact, we would live a lot better without them. And I'm not trying to destroy corporations or ruin the economy or anything. We just need to make a shift and put being alive and being healthy first.
Right. Well, that's what I love about what you're doing, Deborah, because I think you're inspiring people and helping them, A, be educated, and then, B, hopefully taking a look at their own life and their own choices. And if we all did that, I mean, imagine if everybody tomorrow decided to just take a closer look at what they're contributing to.
Well,
and
I can believe that.
Horrible. It would impact everything. I mean, it can happen.
It can happen. So let's intend that, Harmony. Let's just know that that's what's going to happen.
All right. I like it.
Okay, good. So we're almost at the end of the hour here, and it's just been wonderful talking to you, Harmony. I'm so glad that you spent your hour with us tonight, and I'm sure that we're going to be hearing more from you. And what else can I say? I think I need to put the music on. And next, in the next hour, is going to be Eliana Jantz, also from California, from Northern California. And we're going to be talking about the evolution of the natural bed. So I'll talk to you soon, Harmony. Thanks.
Fabulous. Thanks, Deborah.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
All right. So we're going to have about 2.5 minutes of a little music while I take a little break. And when we come back, we'll do the last hour of our Toxic Free Talk Radio Marathon. Wow, after 11 hours, I'm still sitting here. Okay, so here's the music.